Heaven's Den is Wrecking Ball Radio.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den, Filling the Void. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than a social media fight over politics. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by Joe Curry.
Hello.
And Pip Helix.
Hi, everybody.
On the show, the Tommy Lama returns to tell us how best to handle all those political fights on social media. Something we can all use a sense of from Tommy Lama.
Sense of peace.
Yes. Pip has a new curmudgeonly philosophy. We have a brand new Bitches Be Crazy. And the Republicans are pushing a bill to allow the government to view your browsing history without a warrant or due process. That's going to be a fun political conversation. What could possibly go wrong, but we'll try to... We'll try to have the Tommy Lama's advice wash over us over that conversation. Yes. I was thinking, I've never been one to follow the crowd when it comes to music.
Yes.
I've always found that there's certain bands that are very popular, but there's a certain amount of backlash to liking them. Like, they're very popular, but still there's a very large size of the population that says these bands stink.
Right.
Like, growing up for me, Bon Jovi. Like Bon Jovi came out with all these hair bands, and I always liked Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
But I would get a lot of guff. You don't get to use that word a lot. A lot of guff for liking Bon Jovi. And I remember, like, in 87, 88, they came out with the old Rod Stewart rumor where, like, John Bon Jovi was in the hospital because he swallowed some man product.
From Rod Stewart?
No, not from Rod Stewart. No, but John, same rumor.
It was the same rumor.
Oh, but never heard that one about Bon Jovi. I heard about Rod Stewart.
Right, well, I was in school during the Bon Jovi era.
During the Rod Stewart.
Yes, I mean, there was no social media, so we could only spread horrible rumors from ear to ear.
Well, wait a minute. Who's the swallower for this decade, then? I haven't heard that one.
Go back to school. I don't know. None of us are in school.
Roam the halls of a high school.
Yeah,
and
listen in for that.
Arrest you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You predator. I don't know. I'm sure there's somebody.
But the you predator. You looked at me like, what the hell is wrong with you? And it's like, no.
Because I just said they were in school.
But it seems to come back every 10 years.
It's probably continuous.
Yeah, I probably.
You know, it's probably Bieber.
Yeah, you know what?
It's probably.
There you go.
But that's probably true.
I think we can all agree.
Stop it. But there are certain bands that I think are good. Like, I always thought Bon Jovi was good.
I like them, too.
But they have no cred. We're the cool kids.
You know what? Maybe I was out of school then. I never thought that Bon Jovi was thought of not being cool.
Yeah, they were. Now everybody likes Bon Jovi. Now they're just a great American rock band.
So back in the day, like when Slippery When Wet came out, okay, were you in
huge
school?
Really? Yes, you was 87.
Was it not cool to like?
Was not cool. You could
really?
You could not wear the Bon Jovi t-shirt
because
there was manly bands like Cinderella and Poison around.
Now, I find that's kind of weird. Because
no, my husband's band, sorry to cut you off, my husband's band, the guitarist, heard that I was going to see Bon Jovi with my girlfriends because I hadn't seen him ever. And he was playing Giant Stadium, and I knew that he'd play all the hits. And it was like, that's what I wanted to do, have fun with my friends and hear all the hits. And
go to Giant Stadium, plays all a bunch of obscure stuff.
I would reach out and kill him.
Here's another track you never heard of.
Yeah, tonight we're just doing deep cuts.
This was just released in Europe, but tonight's the night we unveil it here.
I know, right?
Hey, this song is big in Japan.
Yeah.
What'd you pay for tickets? $125. Enjoy.
Do you remember we did that album all in German? Tonight we're going to do it. The whole song. What? Yeah, no. But the thing is, so I go, and usually I go to my husband's shows. And so they're like, where's Pip tonight? Oh, she went to see Bon Jovi with her friends. Well, Mr. I'm Too Cool for School guitarist teased me about, but you just like Bon Jovi for years.
Yes, I think it's one of those.
It was uncool.
Like, for me, that band now,
that's what?
I know.
That's really weird because I was out of high school by then, and Bon Jovi there was a radio station called WAPP.
Mm-hmm.
WAPP was back, I think, 84.
It was called WAP?
WAPP.
It's kind of racist.
No, it's not. WAPP.
Oh, not WOP.
Based out of Jersey. Right. Based out of Jersey. In the tri-state area, they were having their commercial-free summer pushing the radio station.
Okay.
This is the summer of...
We got no revenue.
Yeah, this is like the summer of 83. On the song that was getting play on rotation was this unknown band. The song was called Runaway by Bon Jovi.
Oh.
by Bon Jovi.
Yeah, because I don't think they even had they released their first album yet.
No, they didn't. They wasn't even
Jersey
the guys,
band.
Yeah, and it was all studio guys that they recorded.
And people dug them.
And they got popular by then. So we saw, you know, as a musician too, I saw these guys, and then their album came out, and we saw them grow. And I always liked Bon Jovi, and it was like, you know, the underdog that made it.
Yes.
I never even realized there was a contingent that thought it was not cool to like Bon Jovi. Realized that.
A lot of people thought that he was like the cut-rate Springsteen. And I never rated Springsteen
all
that
much. Like
so I liked Bon Jovi.
Like a little too much hair. A little too much hairspray.
But that was
too
the time.
That's
pretty.
What it was. They were too pretty.
Yeah.
I think the band now that gets a lot of guff for no reason is Nickelback. There's such a backlash against Nickelback, and to me it's like, well, there's not really a lot of rock music. These are the guys that are carrying it to the next, you know, keeping the tradition alive.
I never understood that either. Nickelback is a really good band. They write really good songs and really, I mean, riffs that Metallica would take notice of. So I don't know,
somebody who was in radio explained to me the fact is because they have all these soft singles, too, that they release.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they get a lot of backlash for selling out. But back in our day growing up, that was the formula.
Yes.
You write some hard rock songs, but you release the ballads.
Right.
That was the formula.
Now, also another band that is phenomenally good, phenomenally talented, that got a bad rap was Winger.
Winger. Yeah, but I want to talk about ones now. Winger, absolutely right. Winger got killed by Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah.
I want to talk about you know what? That's a good one. You're right.
I know, but that's a great comic book title.
So much so.
You're right.
So much so that Mike Judge apologized to Kip Winger.
Are you
apologized
kidding?
Apologized to him and said, dude, if I knew it was going to like screw your career up the way it did,
and
I
it
never
did.
Would have did
it. And you could never wear a Winger t-shirt. I always liked Winger.
Yeah.
That's
really unfortunate.
Mike Judge
that's not fair.
Felt bad about that.
That's really something. Yeah. That was bad.
Any other bands?
You know what? I really liked Alanis Morissette, but she got the reputation of being the really like upset, you know, feminist screaming singer.
I think that was after her popularity.
Yeah,
that Jagged. Yeah, but I'm talking about while they're popular. Jagged Little Pill was huge.
Huge.
And everybody loved it. But
I loved the second album as well.
I have a couple of her albums.
Yeah.
She was all right.
No, Alanis Morissette was very, very good, very grounded. That first album was, you know. First album was
I don't even
really
know.
Good.
That's not even her first album. She
maybe
released the pop album.
Maybe the second album. But I don't, you know, it's funny. Nowadays with all the bands out, I don't know that there are bands. I think the problem is that with rock music, it is not as popular as it was with people in youth. So I don't know if it's even cool to like rock anymore.
Yes. Right.
Well,
a bunch of people
wrote on my Facebook page because I put it out there. Lisa from Toronto said Bare Naked Ladies. But I don't know if they had one popular song.
The Chicken of Chogun, the Chinese chicken.
No, if
or
I
something?
Had like $1 million.
And they also had the one that you just mentioned.
Had a clock tick and
I think
chicken,
that they're
something.
More like a
novelty.
A novelty.
Yeah,
band?
I don't think that can. Now, Kevin from Jersey said Limp Bizkit. Limp Bizkit was a huge band.
They were.
But they were not cool till yeah.
Now it's not cool.
Well, it wasn't as much as Fred Durst.
That's what I think it was.
Because Fred Durst was, you know, was a tool.
That's what I think. I think there was backlash towards Fred Durst.
Yeah, it was pretty much on Fred, you know, Fred Durst.
Now,
that.
I remember, as the hair band era started to phase out, I always supported a lot of those bands.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember as the 80s were turning into the 90s, all of a sudden, it was no longer cool to like, you know, these massively popular bands anymore.
Yeah.
There was like a backlash. Oh, you like them? Yeah.
Right. No, I know. Well, but see, that's cyclical. Because when
cyclical?
Cyclical.
Maybe it was bicycle.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I was thinking about bicycles or about that time. But the thing was that it was kind of when punk rock came out. Everybody who was like, you know, like Led Zeppelin or like the Stones and stuff. Not necessarily the Stones.
I think punk killed disco more than arena rock.
No, it killed a lot of like rock too. For a time period, it came back, but they were just, you know, going against. They're saying, oh, you know, that's not what we want. We don't want, you know, any kind of prog rock, particularly. That's just pompous, and they were like anti, you know, playing your instrument and being technically correct and all that. They're just like, do it yourself and be loud and angry, you know. And then that was just like a time period that it wasn't cool to like those things. But I love going back and listening to Yes. Yes, Fragile is an amazing album.
Yeah, but I don't know. Was Yes a huge band?
Yes.
Absolutely.
And there
yes.
was backlash to them?
Well, I mean, by certain people.
I'm talking like major backlash.
Yeah, well, you know what? Kid Rock. I think that a lot of people think that he's just like this country bumpkin.
Who?
But Kid Rock.
Oh,
remember
Kid Rock.
We went to see him.
Yeah, he's great.
He was great. And I was surprised that I liked him as much as I
Pat
did.
Pat from New York, upstate New York, and this one I think is that the Monkees.
Well,
the Monkees, because you know, if you think about it, when they came out, they were kind of, because they were put together by like a TV,
and they were, and the music was written by Boyce and Hart, and there was also the Killers. There was a session musicians. These session musicians wrote for the Beach Boys. They wrote for the Monkees. These guys wrote most of the hits in the 60s. And these are the guys that perform.
I think
the
Monkees always suffered that backlash.
I think that people
even though they were insanely popular,
and people looked at them as not serious because they did well at first. They weren't playing their own instruments,
no.
But then they learned because they had a tour.
Yeah,
and they were like, "You better step on it."
Yeah, I think
Mike Nesmith probably knew how to play before.
I think Nesmith knew how to play. Nesmith could really had the least to use because his mother or his mother's family was the people that invented whiteout.
Yes,
so he was a silver spoon kid. So regardless how well the Monkees did, he really could, you know. I mean,
I saw them in the
80s
when they
came. Were very good. The songs that they wrote, I mean, look, they didn't write most of the songs, but the songs that they played, like Pleasant Valley Sunday and, you know, a couple of the others were really, really good.
Another
really
one good. That came up quite a bit, Bee Gees. And I think Bee Gees got the backlash when rock
disco.
Started coming at. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they were huge. And then
before disco, they were huge.
I even remember, like, when people say, I like the Bee Gees. And I remember, like, in college going, the Bee Gees, yuck. But they were a huge band.
And then that's on Broadway.
Great song. A really phenomenal song.
You know, they were good before it was disco. Yeah, but people were like, oh, I remember being in high school. During the time period, people were like, disco sucks.
Well, even when a band that you like jumped the show, I was a Major League Charlie Daniels fan from like 77. And when he released The Devil Went Down to Georgia, you just felt like he abandoned you because he wrote this commercial song.
Yes.
You know?
I
and
understand
then,
what you mean.
Because he was your guy. Not many people realized that you liked to go to the shows. It was like your guy. You know, but he has a right to make it.
Yeah, really. It's like everybody's so like, oh, you're not allowed to get anywhere. You're not allowed to have
like
a hit
single.
Yeah, because
we want to feel that you're exclusive to my dumb group of friends.
Well, I think what it is, no matter how popular you get, there's going to be a group of people that detract from you. And the more popular you get, the more adulation you get, the more the haters are going to be.
Yeah.
I think that's the message. Mm. All right. You are listening to Davin's Den Fill in the Void. When we come back, Tommy Lama. Don't go anywhere. We're back. You're listening to Davin's Den. I had the pleasure of talking to the Tommy Lama earlier because I've been distressed, I'm sure a lot of people are too, about all the anger and ugliness on social media that have to do with politics. So I needed to get centered. And whenever I need to get centered, there's only one man I go to, and that's the Tommy Lama. So I'm going to play that interview. We are here with the Tommy Lama, the spiritual comedic guru. Is that right, Tommy Lama?
I am the king of carmody.
You are the king of carmody. It's been quite some time since we've had you on the show. How have you been?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great spiritual healing work in Vegas at the Tropicana. I have my own resident show there. It's a temple where people come in worse off than they came in.
Now you speak of worse off. You're doing a little. They're doing a little bit better than the Tony Robbins people, I hope.
Well, Tony Robbins. Well, I'm smarter than Tony because Tony has them firewalk on calls. I have them firewalk on calls while they're still in the bag. So
that,
you're better off with me.
I've always said that for spiritual guidance, I always go to Tommy Lama, and this is why I am so happy to speak with you at this time, because I've been very stressed out, and I know a lot of people are very stressed out. There's all the politics on social media, and people are getting into fights, and it's really upsetting people, so I wanted to get the Tommy Lama's take on how we could get through these trying times. I don't know. I'm sure you've seen this. I'm sure people have come to you where people who are friends are getting into these ugly fights on social media due to politics. Do you feel, Tommy Lama, it's best to debate on social media or just ignore the things you do not agree with?
this is why I ignore politics and just stick to religion. Sometimes I disagree with stuff I agree with just to see how it comes out. This, I'm telling you, it's a great strategy for people with multiple personality disorder.
Oh.
Okay. It can be like the presidential debates in your head.
So you're really cutting to the chase.
Yeah. No, because you know what it is? Social media, it's like it's a great equalizer. That's why, Davin, we have revenge porn.
I never looked at it like that.
I had a girl do that to me, and I got to confess, it was a very big hit amongst the Blue Boy magazine readers.
And to find magazine readers.
You know what? And I'm very big in Japan.
I've heard that's where you're the biggest, in Japan.
You heard correct. Listen, the only people I would ignore are people that have profile pictures that feature guns. Because, you know, when it comes to the Second Amendment, I find it's a bad idea to disagree with anyone with their own personal armor.
I think that's good advice.
Yeah, this is what I'm for.
But now, when somebody disagrees with you on social media, taking the guns out of it, do you automatically assume that they're an idiot?
Well, when someone disagrees with me, the problem is the best way to deal with someone I feel I actually like idiots, actually, especially if they're female.
You
leave them on. Okay. I leave them on. I don't mind. I never argue with them. Especially if they're hot.
So the more attractive they are, the better chance of agreement.
Yes. I'm very compliant.
So if they're unattractive and the Tommy Llama was trying to win an argument on social media, is it best to use facts and provide examples of facts and maybe link articles or just restate your opinion time and time again, maybe even using cap locks?
You know, in today's social media environment, facts are debatable. In fact, your facts are my opinion. That's the way I look at it.
So facts are just a figment of the imagination.
Yeah, it's unnecessary. And, you know, here's the thing, David. I never let the facts get in the way of a good argument. You see, once facts get introduced, then there's nothing to argue about. You're likely to reach a compromise, and that's un-American. If we start relying on facts, our entire political system collapses, is what I'm saying.
I just now have to reevaluate myself because of your guidance, I realize how completely un-American I've been.
Well, that's why I'm here for you.
I appreciate this.
The social discourse has gotten nasty. Nasty.
Well, you speak about the nasty Tommy Llama, but how do you handle if somebody calls you a libtard or a racist? We see those bandied about. What's the best way to handle that?
Well, so when you're in an argument like that, it's important. The important thing is to gradually increase the caps so you can build a crescendo.
Okay.
Like, when someone calls me a libtard, I laugh because I could combine way more than two insults. I recommend libtard, racist, servitude, vegan.
Vegan? That is quite insulting.
And you know, the worst type of people, I believe, are vegan hunters because they're killing for no reason whatsoever. You know, when I kill a deer, I'm doing it so I can decorate my apartment.
Oh. Well, that makes sense. I mean, that's feng shui.
Yes.
Okay.
And there's a lot of feng shui. I do a lot of healing exercises. I have made, in my show at the Tropicana, I'll switch couples around, even if they're married. Like, I'll swap partners during the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like speed dating. And they find out, the new energy, it's like revitalized their marriage. By having a third party involved.
Do they go back to their original partner ever?
Sometimes they choose door number one, but sometimes they choose door number two, or they choose door number three where it involves all four of them.
I've heard door number two is usually the hardest door to close the deal on, but I don't know.
Well, I think you're just talking out of your hole here, because you have to witness it live to see it. I don't think you know what you're talking about.
I've been told that a lot.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm setting you straight. And that's why you haven't had me on your show for a while. And this is why you've led a stray life.
This is why I had to have you back. I realized I was off the beaten path. So I needed to reach out to you, Tommy.
And by the way, I want to tell you something back to the libtard thing and all these name callings. You know, people who use these terms, they're just not creative people. You know, at least I have the common decency to disparage their mothers.
So it's an insult, but it's once removed, so it's not as bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got that. That's what makes you classy.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody is insulting you, is it best to unfriend them or block them? Or do you just let them continue posting on your page and try to be the bigger person?
Look, I'm, first of all, when it comes to blocking, like I said, and I alluded this to before in the previous question, when it comes to blocking or unfriending, it depends if they are strippers. You know, I have a policy never to unfriend a pretty girl, no matter how stupid they are. The only blocking I find really effective is cock blocking.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll have to edit that out.
Okay, you can edit. Unfortunately, you can edit that out. Okay, that's not a problem.
That'll be on the internet version, but that won't be on the one that's in over 30 markets.
Well, I got a replacement. You haven't you just luck? I got another way to block this. Okay.
Okay.
Let me tell you something. I am a huge believer in memes. Okay. I do a lot of work modeling for them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think blocking people on Facebook accomplishes anything. If you want to get your point across, block their driveway in real life.
Okay. I like that. Because then they're stuck and they have to listen to you. I like that.
I mean, to get your point across, you should do anything short of cutting yourself unless you're into that kind of thing.
And then you should.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you find another way... I find this as offensive as cutting, but I see it a lot on social media. The use of memes to get their political point across. Is it useful? Do you support it?
Yeah. I model for it. I think it's really good. I think people can't visualize what you're saying unless you put a picture in front of it.
So more pictures, less words, and no need for facts.
I mean, you have to consider the millennials. They've stopped reading since they were born. I mean, if you want to get the younger people, it's just pictures and three-letter words, you know, and that's it.
Not to mention the older people who are starting to lose their vision, so it's helpful there, too.
Right, yeah. So you don't want to target the middle.
No, never target the middle.
Never target the middle. You want to target the fringes.
Yes. You know, I'm learning so much, and I realize I've spent so many hours just doing this all wrong. This is why I needed to talk to the Tommy Llama.
You know, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Even when I'm wrong, I'm not wrong, which I like.
You're not wrong. Yeah.
What's the best single way to win a political argument and get the other side to realize how correct you are on social media? Because I know there's a way to win people over on social media. I know you can get them to the other side, but I don't know it, but I bet you do.
Okay. Compare them to Hitler.
Compare them to Hitler. And that makes...
Absolutely. You know, that was what actually what drove the original Hitler to suicide.
Really?
Once you compare them to Hitler, what are they going to compare you to? Stalin? Too obscure? Pol Pot? Sounds like a restaurant. You can't win.
So are you saying Hitler... Somebody compared Hitler to Hitler and he couldn't take it and he killed himself?
Absolutely. You heard me the first time say it.
Okay. So if I'm losing a political argument, the best thing I can do is compare whatever they're arguing for to Hitler.
There's no comeback against Hitler.
There is. It's called the Allied Forces, but I guess.
All right. You know what? If you're so smart, then, you know, maybe you don't need me on your show.
No, I do. I do. Because remember, I'm always right.
If you have all the answers, then I don't know what I'm doing on the show.
Hitler. You're like Hitler.
See, now you're learning.
I am. This is why you're on the show. I like how you put me on the defensive to put me in the right headspace to figure out what you were trying to teach me.
You were very smart. You're ahead of your time.
I find that a lot. Should politics be discussed on social media, or do you recommend something else to live a more fulfilling life?
Listen, Dev, there are many, many more things that are more fulfilling than discussing politics online. You know, go to a theater, have a laugh. You know, speaking of which, I will do my comedic one-man show at the Tropicana in Las Vegas. It's Thursdays through Monday. And if I may plug my show times at this juncture, that would be fantastic.
Sure.
My show is weekly. I got residents there at the Laugh Factory in Las Vegas at the Tropicana. My show's at Thursday at 5 p.m., Friday at 7 p.m., Saturday and Sunday at 5 p.m., and Monday at 7 p.m.
And is there a website where people can learn more about Tommy Lama?
You could go to TropLV. That stands for Las Vegas. Trop is short for Tropicana. And TropLV.com, and you could buy tickets.
Fantastic. Well, Tommy.
I'm a limited engagement that's running to September 4th. And we'll take it from there. So, you know, now is the time to grab me in the summer.
Grab the time.
I promise you, if you thought you didn't have mistakes, I will find some for you in your life.
No, I know that.
Big problems.
I know that. You're great for this type of thing, for marriage counseling, for anything that troubles you. You go to the Tommy Lama.
What I do is I mix the secular with the new age, and it's a potent form of mental breach.
I feel breached.
Yeah, I breach you.
You breached me in the second door. Well, thank you,
yes.
Tommy Lama, for enlightening us and enlightening our audience. Going to definitely try to see you out in Las Vegas. Thank you, Tommy.
And let me tell you something. If I may say one more thing, you know, people can learn more about my teachings from Pornhub.
Are those your students on Pornhub?
Yeah. You know, because it's the best. You know, I find it's the best way to reach people right after they achieve inner peace.
Really?
Yeah.
So right in that refractory period is when they see Tommy Lama the clearest.
It's that time, that delicate time. Yes.
So, all right.
Namaste.
So the afterglow / you're a little ticklish and a little sensitive. That's when you want to reach the Tommy Lama.
That's when you want to come to me because you're cleared.
Makes sense.
Now you could absorb the knowledge that I have to teach.
All the bad has been expelled from the body, and you could take all the good that is Tommy Lama.
Right. You're releasing all that bad chi.
Right.
So you become an empty vessel so I can fill your empty cup.
Right. Again, I don't think this will be on the the FCC version, but
it's the bonus round.
It really is. It's
after hours.
It's the second climax. That's what Tommy Lama gives you.
Yeah. You have the NC-17 version.
Well, the people on iTunes and iHeartRadio will dig it, but.
Good. And see, this is beautiful. You have beautiful riches to pick from.
All right, so I think we've learned a lot about politics, and next time you come, seek out Tommy Lama.
Yes, and Dee, let me know any time you want me to give you the spiritual report in Vegas.
I definitely will.
Great work that I'm doing there.
Yeah, you're a healer, you're a mensch.
Thank you.
All right, Tommy, take care.
All right.
See you.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Tommy Lama, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Davin's Den. When we come back, Pip's curmudgeonly philosophy. Don't go anywhere. Back, Davin's Den. Let's do some curmudgeonly philosophy. I just got to pull that up. Just give me one second.
Yeah.
Track up. So we haven't done this in a while. It's always, we got enlightened by the llama. It's always good to get enlightened by the pip.
You might be afraid. No.
All right. Let's play a little song here.
You wondered about it. You waited for it. And now it's here. Curmudgeon Philosophy with Pip Helix.
All right, Pip, we're trying to help everybody tonight. We got the llama's input. Now we're going to get some curmudgeonly philosophy.
I think that this is universal.
You always do.
Yeah. Well, no. I really think, this one.
As opposed to the other crap that you don't think is going to stick, but you throw it at us anyway?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, good.
It's my philosophy.
It's a heck of a philosophy. Yeah.
This philosophy is
okay.
Driving slow in the right lane is way more dangerous than driving fast in the left.
I would say driving slow in the left lane is more dangerous.
Yeah, driving slow in the left lane.
Because in the right lane is the slow lane anyway.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. I got my hands confused.
Yeah, you, the wheels on the bus go round and round.
Your universal philosophy stinks.
Look, she's stretching it out. Scratch that. Pip's Corner is on the left side of the road.
You got to stop trying to write this down while you're driving. That
writing material in the car.
Well, anyways, that would make sense, though. all right. You're on the left side of the road.
What are you doing, pre-Brexit England, where everything's reversed? What are you talking about?
Well, we do have somebody from England listening tonight in the chat.
So that made sense to that person.
That one person.
To that
yes.
Well, I
don't understand why these jerks are ripping her apart. It makes perfect sense. they should stick their head in the loo. This girl speaks common sense.
That was making sense.
So glad that you could appeal to our European fans and say screw it to the Americans.
Where they can agree and go, you're right. This is a bit of a problem, yes.
You with your damn globalism philosophy.
That's global philosophy.
Yes, I was pinpointing the show for one person in particular.
Well, we have a lot of European fans, but
we do.
For our Indian friends, when a yak is in the way of the trolley, you can't get to work on time.
Why is it always a yak with you?
Because yak is a funny word.
It is a funny word.
It is a funny word.
It makes me want something I want to do after I hear a screwed up philosophy from Pip. Yak.
You know what? Literally, when they started yelling at me, I looked at my hands.
First of all, we did not yell. We both didn't yell.
We just went,
corrected.
You went, what? Well, that makes
you went, wow.
That's sensible.
And then you went, wow. And then you went, oh! But the person in England goes, no, you were right the first time around.
These guys are all wrong. What's wrong with these idiots?
No, well, you know what I'm saying.
Yes, because we're used to you. We've been exposed.
And it is also dangerous.
Now that I have looked at my hands.
Driving slow in the left lane is more dangerous than driving fast in the right lane.
Yeah, because...
Do I have to write these for you, too?
No, you just have to remind me which is my right and which is my left. But it... People make me so infuriated.
Yes, because we have places to go.
Yes, but the other thing is that it's called the passing lane. Are you fucking
Again, you're not just passing in the left lane.
You're flying.
Yeah, you're hanging out in the left lane.
Oh, yeah. No,
which you're not supposed to do either.
Oh, yeah. No,
now, what do you mean
there by
slow? Do you mean the speed limit or slower than the speed limit?
No, even the speed limit. Wrong. You are not supposed to do the speed limit in that lane.
I agree with you.
Yes, the speed limit should be done in the right lane.
In the right lane,
but
not
the speed
in the
limit
left
is the
lane.
Max. I agree with you.
Yeah.
But none of us are safe drivers.
But it's with I know, because to me, I'm an offensive driver, not a defensive one.
There are a lot
of
offensive things.
Yes. But, you know, if you got to use common sense. If the flow, look, the law is the law.
I think they
all
use common sense.
I know, but look, we all get it. The law is the law. However,
we get it. You're law abiding,
but you have to be aware of the flow of traffic. If the flow of traffic,
the flow of traffic is you're riding up their rear end illegally.
Yeah, the flow of traffic, though, you have to be aware of it. If you feel that you are going the speed limit, but the flow of traffic,
Joe,
going, get in the right lane and let them pass.
Joe, every flow can be contained. We know this from dealing with women, folks. They are the Tampax of the road.
They are. They are containing all of us.
Yes.
And there's this angry flow building up behind that.
Yes, but they are being responsible so you don't make a mess of the whole road.
Yes, but the Tampax car has to be removed and let the flow go.
But then you're going to make a big splat.
No, it's better than the toxic shock going on behind everybody.
But never flush that car. Always dispose in a waste desk.
Said by somebody who worked in the plumbing industry for many years. But the thing is that it drives me crazy. And the ones who make me especially crazed are the ones who ignore you up their butt flashing the lights.
All right. You are listening to Davin's Den. When we come back, bitches be crazy. Don't go anywhere. We're back. Davin's Den. We're going to do... We haven't done this in a while either. We're playing all the hits. Whatever we have. Little Bitches Be Crazy. We did have a clean version of that, but it never played, so... Joe made it. It just won't play. And the computer. So, you get this version. You'll be fine. No big whoop.
Bitches be crazy. 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 Bitches be crazy.
Like the lyrics, Joe. You really extended yourself.
You're poignant, yeah.
Oh. You know, well, this particular installment of Bitches Be Crazy is about something that happens every once in a while in relationships. And this story is what made me think about it. It happened a little while ago. It was what happened in Centerville, Ohio, when a newlywed couple went in and had a meal in a restaurant. And the newlywed wife decided that she didn't want to tip the server, a female, because she thought that the woman was going after her husband. During the meal.
I'm sure she was.
And so she...
Stop, Joe. It's the burden of the handsome.
She got... she got...
The burden of the... It's the burden of the handsome. Yes.
She got so worked up about the waitress being nice to them and, you know, giving good
That's
service.
That's a battleground state. Wow. Everybody argues
all
there.
All the nerve.
So how dare you expect a decent gratuity for being courteous? What do you think this is, Hooters? Well, ma'am, it is. No.
She gave good service. Nothing else. And yet, when the bill came back and she saw that she had written on the charge copy, no tip, and said on the bottom, with a little smiley face, with a wink, he's my husband, find your own, good luck.
Have we seen pictures of these people? Because this story really needs pictures.
Yeah, there's a...
I don't like the way you said that, yeah.
Yeah! Are we talking about attractive people here?
There's not a picture of the couple. Oh. There's no picture of the couple.
I need to see what this man looks like.
Well, there's a picture of the waitress and her husband, who actually worked in the same restaurant.
She's Ohio attractive.
So if the if
hope we don't have any fans in Ohio.
Yeah, not anymore.
Not you, if you're listening.
And she's absolutely ravishing.
She is ravishing.
Because Ohio has some really extraordinary...
Joe, are you running for president, too, the way you're trying to woo Ohio? Really, Kasich?
They're great. They're great. They're great. Great.
Yeah, the women are huge.
Ohio and Pennsylvania. But we love Pennsylvania, too. We're going to...
The Ohioans are great. No, she's okay. Yeah, she's a six.
Well, I mean, the thing is... Oh, Joe is dying now.
Come on. Are we going to give her more than a six?
It's backhanded compliment Tuesday.
I mean, and she's wearing her wedding dress. And this is her wedding... That's as good as she's going to get. Everybody looks their best on their wedding day.
True.
Nobody looks like hell on their wedding
day. God, that's funny.
Because we know there's going to be a professional photographer, and they can even touch up things. We all lose 30 pounds that we're going to double up on in 3 years.
But, it took you three?
Like, we're ever going to fit into that cummerbund again.
That is the most perfect. Yeah, you're never going to look any better than you do on your wedding day.
That was
the
your
best
wedding.
You're going to look.
On her wedding, she looked like a six. She was a little zoftic then. She's probably too fitty now. It's fine.
She looks nice.
It's a wedding. She's not putting on her overalls, stupid.
I've seen those pictures. Now, the thing is that this is the waitress. Now, she's coming over, and she's doing what waiters and waitresses have to do. They have to be gracious. They have to be friendly. They have to talk people up, or they're never going to get a tip. And, you know, in the U.S., that's how they make their money.
Yes. Right.
Because their bottom line pay is terrible. And so you're living off
Settle
of tips.
Settle down, Bernie.
Everybody knows that you live off of those tips, and this crazy biatch is saying, oh, well, you were flirting too much with my new husband. Go get out of here. Now, I think that this is a symbol of somebody who's so insecure, so crazy. This woman, she can't even stand waitress friendliness.
If she's worried about a six, this woman has to be two with a hump on the back.
But you know what's really scary is when they're not tattooed with a hump, or they don't have like that giant witch mole with the hairs coming out of it.
You with your teeth.
How about a nice meth habit? Why don't you go to in the corner?
Yeah, those are the scary ones who are like ready to claw the eyes out of any woman that talks to their man. Get away from my
man.
Yeah,
I mean, listen, you got to understand, you know, you're going to get food. They're trying to make a tip. They don't really want your man.
Yeah.
You know.
So
if they give him an extra dessert, that's an issue.
Then we're talking.
Yes.
Smackdown.
All right.
That bitch be crazy.
All right, you are listening to Davin's Den. When we come back, we're going to argue. Last segment of the show. Thank you guys for hanging out. So apparently Senator John McCain wants to see what websites you've been looking at. And I'm guessing it ain't just Wikipedia. Anyway, Arizona Senator John McCain filed an amendment to the Commerce Justice Society Science Appropriations Act. First of all, these guys got to stop with the amendments. We can't get a clear bill. That's why nothing passes. That's why you get nothing, because they all put on stuff that they know nobody's going to support.
Oh, yeah, there's too many extra things.
Yes, exactly. Anyway, Science Appropriations Act that would give the FBI easy access to citizens' browsing history and email data without the hassle of having to obtain a warrant first.
Oh, gee.
Oh, those darn warrants.
Oh, how troublesome.
He said, in the wake of the tragic massacre in Orlando, it is important our law enforcement have the tools they need to conduct counterterrorism investigations and track lone wolves. Other Republicans who blessed McCain's insertion of the provision into the Commerce Bill include North Carolina Senator Richard Burr, Texas Senator John Cornyn, Alabama Senator and Trump's number one, Senator Jeff Sessions, he's his go-to for foreign policy,
mm-hmm.
and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. As a provision of the Patriot Act, which was passed after 9/11, the FBI can, without warrant, force banks, phone companies, internet businesses, and others to hand over a customer's name, address, and billing records. That's been a whole big thing.
Right.
But it needs a warrant to access citizens' email metadata, like details about who sent and received an email and when it was sent. That's how they can put everything together if they know who you were talking to and when you were talking to them.
Right.
The FBI also cannot access a citizen's web browsing history information without a warrant. Mm-hmm. McCain's amendment would allow the FBI to access people's browsing histories and email data by broadening the scope of administrative subpoenas known as the National Security Letters. Opposition to the argument says this would strip out all the protections and buffers between the government and everyday citizens, and it would allow the FBI to get this information without a subpoena under a shroud of secrecy. You don't even know if they do this. They don't have to reveal that they've gone into your stuff.
Right.
So in the past 10 years, the FBI has issued over 300,000 NSLs, a majority of which included gag orders that prevented companies from disclosing that they received request information. So, you know, Verizon, who's our phone provider,
mm-hmm.
they might get this from the FBI. They might go through our stuff. We don't even know.
Yeah, because we can't call Verizon and go, did the FBI get in touch with you about me? I don't know.
They can't even tell
us. They wouldn't tell you.
So, we are told by many Republicans that we can't close the loophole that allows people on the no-fly list and terror watch list to prevent them from buying guns because there's a lack of due process. Which, mm-hmm. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But these are the same people that want to allow the FBI to get your login info and access browsing history without due process. I think this is outrageous and inconsistent. Now I'm prepared for Joe to tell me why I'm wrong.
The only thing about it is the word that concerns me is the lone wolf. A lot of these guys have been lone wolves.
Right.
Okay.
But it's the same thing with the guns. I mean, there's a lone one. That's why we can't stop them. That's why the Republicans are against, not having people on the terrorist watch list, preventing them from buying guns.
Mm-hmm.
Because they say due process.
I know, but sometimes it just feels that these are people of interest that they're looking for.
But I get that. But shouldn't they be consistent?
It depends. It's a different world.
I'd rather they stop them from buying a gun than going through my email thing. Listen, I think there should be due process for all of it.
Yes.
I think the Republicans make a valid argument. Because you don't know how you get on this list. Nobody knows when they're on the no-flies list until you show up to the airport and go, you're not flying. I guess I'm on the list.
Yeah, and like when a normal person gets on there, by a mistaken name or whatever, they have to, well, at that moment, you're not getting on a plane.
At that moment, you're not getting on a plane. Same thing if you're trying to buy a gun and there's a mistake. At that moment, you can't legally purchase the gun. I get the argument.
Yeah.
I think it's a valid argument. I think they should put put in something for due process.
Yes.
But at the same time, I got a real problem with them wanting to get rid of due process to allow them to go through my emails. It's an invasion of privacy.
But the whole thing about it is, and this is where it really gets to freedom or protection.
That's what it gets to.
Looking at who the government is targeting. Are they targeting you because they want to that you're a person of interest? I'm going under the directive that if they're doing this, you are a person of interest.
Then you would support without due process them stopping you from getting on a plane or purchasing a gun without due process, because that's what we're going with here. There's no due process for either.
If a person, but would I be concerned that I would be a person of, a person of interest?
Well, they make mistakes. That's the whole argument from the right. Well, I mean, even though these mistakes are few and far between, you're taking away constitutional rights. It's the same argument.
Few and far between. However, in the case of, the problem is right now is that these people that are unstable are getting weapons. If it could prevent an attack by an unstable person or reach further to look into what this person is about, is it worth an infringement on a freedom on somebody that is a person of interest?
I just want consistency.
If they have to go and get a warrant to look into your house to see what's going on in there, why wouldn't they have to go and get a warrant to look into your right to privacy online?
Get a warrant.
Your email. Get a warrant.
That's all.
Because it might tip the person off doing.
It doesn't tip the person off.
You're
going to the judge, go, listen, this is our evidence. This is why we need to go to the email. It's just bringing in a third party,
right?
Which I'm fine. That's due process.
Well, and also because the thing is like, we do have the right to privacy in this country.
Yes.
And we're eroding it because people are making us afraid that you can't take away everyone's right to privacy because you're afraid of that one person. You know what? If you have enough evidence that person might be unhinged and planning something, then you have enough evidence to go to a judge.
Right.
And get a legal warrant.
It's really a no-win situation, because if you don't have enough evidence and they do something crazy, it's a no-win situation. I just want consistency. I have a hard time for the right telling me we can't prevent people on the no-fly list and terrorist watch list from getting guns because there's no due process. And the other side of their mouth saying, well, you know what? We can go through their emails, and we don't need due process.
Yeah.
I just want consistency.
And the thing is, just because we're saying that, they're only going to go after the bad people. No, they're not.
Right.
Because once you're allowed to go through people's emails and find things that perhaps you don't like, or now you found out that this person thinks this way, it's like now all of our rights to be free speech, privacy, are infringed upon.
Speaking of infringed, Joe, where will you be infringing on people?
I'm going to be at Bananas Comedy Club. I go to Bananas this coming weekend, so go to bananas.com, and I'll have all the information there. Go to joecurry.com, and the information will be there as well.
Where Joe will infringe upon your freedom. Mm. Well, thank you guys for hanging out. As always, you can go to davinsden.com to hear the full show. There was a lot of the Tommy Lama stuff that we just couldn't put on the air. So you're going to want to check that out. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, @davinsden. Thank you guys for hanging out. Follow us on Twitter. Like I said, if you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, please, please, please keep on listening.